Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
Welcome to Radio Ambulante Unscripted, a new way to listen to Latin America, part of Soundworks from PRI. I'm Daniel Alarcón. So before I start today, I want to make an announcement. This is our last episode of Unscripted. It's been really fun and we've had some great conversations along the way. A few stand out for me. Tania Saracho talked about being the only Latina in a Hollywood writer's room.
They should put us on TV, you know, round stories. I'm telling you, they would sell. Put more brown stories on TV.
Francisco Goldman took us on a ride through Mexico City.
My way of kind of embracing Mexico City, of going further into the city, as you say, I'm going to do this driving game in Auda's honor, where I'm going to use the Guia Roji like an I Ching.
And Nadia Dross showed us the front lines of Colombia's new war for gold.
What the story ended up being is actually, you know, so reflective of any town in Colombia's conflict, where the line between a victim and a victimizer really gets blurred.
And there's lots more. It's been 20 episodes, 20 great conversations that we're super proud of. We want to thank PRI and, of course, the contributors to their New Voices Fund, including the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation and Maureen and Michael Rutgers. If you like what you've been hearing on Unscripted, no worries. Over on our feed at radioambulante.org, we have more content than ever in both English and Spanish. We just launched our new season, and we're releasing every episode with subtitled videos in English. We'll also have English language interviews with our producers to give you context for each story. And we've got this brand new partnership with the New York Times Magazine, where you can meet some of the amazing characters we've interviewed for our pieces. It's an exciting year ahead for Radio Ambulante, and though Unscripted is ending, we most certainly are not. So with that, I also want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you for having been a part of this, and we hope you'll stay in touch. Visit us at our website, radioambulante.org. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or you can send us an email at contacto@radioambulante.org. So with that, here's today's episode.
Since science is generally positive and this research that's coming out is kind of, you know, demonstrating how innovative and how kind of, you know, groundbreaking a lot of these scientists are in South America, why not highlight that and kind of add a different perspective to the media?
Good journalism is hard to find, and good science journalism, that's even rarer. We have some very good journalists here in the United States, men and women who play a pivotal role in that conversation between the hard sciences and the general public. But in Latin America, well, so I'm certain we have the talent, but I was wondering, where are the outlets? And then, not too long ago, I discovered the website Latin American Science, where you can find regional science news in Spanish and English, written mostly by Latin American scientists and journalists. So I was obviously super interested, and I sat down to talk with the creator and editor of this website, journalist Aleju Bajac. Bajac has lived in Lima, Santiago, Buenos Aires. He finished his high school in Bogota, and he's written for outlets like Nature, Science, and even worked on the NPR show Science Friday. I began by asking Aleju how this new project came to be.
It started when I was a radio producer for Science Friday based in New York, and I was covering science kind of from around the world for a blog and for radio segments. But the blog was in Spanish. It was called Ciencia Cierta. And we were trying to kind of find global science stories and write them in Spanish for a global audience. But I realized that most of my audience was coming from Latin America, but most of my stories weren't coming from Latin America. In fact, very few were. And that's kind of the first disconnect I realized, and I said, you know, maybe there's a way I can tap you kind of science stories coming out of Latin America. And there wasn't really a resource for that. And the reason kind of we started thinking about this project was maybe U.S. journalists would pay more attention if there was a kind of tip sheet or a, you know, a kind of weekly digest of what was going on down in Latin America. I mean, everything from energy to, you know, medical research, public health stories. There's just so much down there, but few people realize in the U.S. and Europe what's going on down there.
So was your audience, at least as you conceived of it at the beginning, in some ways was American journalists?
Yeah, English-speaking journalists from around the world, but people that were looking for story ideas from Latin America, like I was, for radio programs, for newspapers. And I found that a lot of these, you know, people weren't finding like me, we weren't finding great venues for this. I mean, it was a lot of kind of, you know, just digging pretty deep online and relying on contacts that we'd met. So I wanted to become kind of a bridge for that and really amplify the research that was being done down there.
And as the project has developed, have you found that your audience has changed?
Yeah, it's been really great to find all these pockets of scientists and science communicators down in Latin America, mostly on Facebook and Twitter. And it's really kind of shifted from being a tip sheet for journalists to just trying to amplify the conversations and the research that all of those scientists and enthusiasts are talking about.
The range is very broad, you know, from you know, alternative energy to the, you know, the possibility of how Ebola would affect Latin America to bird watching in Colombia. I mean, video games. I mean, I'm just looking at your beautiful front page. I got to say, the design is lovely. Were there beats that you felt were very neglected when you began? You were like, okay, we definitely have to focus on this, or the media is not paying attention to this particular issue. And if so, what were they?
Well, I guess there's the classic rainforest story that's coming out of, you know, the Amazon or where Smithsonian has its research institute in Panama. So you tend to get those kind of stories: deforestation. Now we have drought in Sao Paulo. But there seemed to be a lack of stories about the public health research, the kind of vaccines that are being developed throughout the region, climate change stories. I mean, looking at tropical glaciers, looking at the kind of meteorological studies that Colombian scientists are doing. And like these kind of stories that I was stumbling upon weren't getting any coverage really outside of local newspapers. And so that was kind of a focus. And yes, of course, it's super broad. And that's probably, you know, a downside, because with the limited amount of collaborators we have, we can't cover everything. And you know, we get some complaints because the physicists will say, well, you're not covering any physics. Or, you know, the astronomers are saying, you know, there's so much stuff, and we try to cover.
Oh, the physicists. Oh, the astronomers.
But that's how it is. I mean, you can't, as a journalist, you can't cover everything. And you know, when you try to cover an entire region, it's impossible.
Right. Have you found that the coverage, like within countries, is better, is deeper, is broader, or are there a lack of outlets there too?
I would say that science sections as a whole are kind of being, you know, either eliminated or just kind of rolled back. There seems to be a lot of uproar and over the miscommunication of a lot of science. But to answer more directly the question, yes, a Colombian scientist will get coverage in Colombian media, especially if they know how to kind of spin their stuff with a great headline or a press release if they're lucky, and get, you know, El Tiempo or El Espectador to pick it up, and it's obviously a kind of, you know, patriotic story, and it's always about, you know, the lone Colombian or the Colombian that's gone to Harvard and is studying there. But it's seldom about international collaborations within Latin America. It's definitely about international collaborations with, you know, world-class researchers in Europe or in the States. But I've yet to kind of come across a great international story about collaboration in the sciences from, you know, Brazil and Chile, or Argentina and Chile. So those kind of things aren't covered much. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to kind of take a regional approach to this and look for the people that were, you know, kind of crossing that.
So talk to me about your team of collaborators. Where and how did you bring these journalists together?
It's been amazing the response I've gotten from mostly Twitter, and which is obviously a subset of people on the internet in Latin America. And it's some journalists, but it's also scientists. And they've kind of come out of the woodwork and emailed me out of the blue saying, I want to talk about my research, and or I'm you know, I'm a communicator, I'm a science communicator, and I use that carefully, and because there's a distinction between a journalist and a and a science writer. And it's been a kind of back and forth working with these folks, because I want to, since I can't pay them, and all of this is a labor of love from my side and their side, at the very least, I can try to introduce them to some objective reporting and some contextualizing of their work, and a kind of introduction to the world of reaching out and cold calling sources and other scientists to kind of add breadth to your story. Mm-hmm. And I think the stories have gotten stronger as the time's gone on, but of course this is, it's still a struggle, and that's something I definitely wanted to mention, is that we're still kind of getting on our feet. It's been around for 3 years, but you know, without any money, we're reliant on the kind of time that the collaborators have, you know, which is, you know, nights and weekends, and the time that I have to accept pitches, to edit, and to kind of, you know, obviously do all the things that running an online publication does, which is finding photography, you know, all the kind of coding that goes on for making the site beautiful.
Yeah, I know of what you speak.
but I really wanted to get at what, you know, when you gave that talk at the Nieman Foundation at Harvard about Radio Ambulante, you were talking a lot about how, you know, you entered with this assumption, you were adamant that Chileans are going to be interested in a story coming out of Mexico. And there is a kind of transnational interest and coming from the United States too, people interested in stories coming out of Argentina. And I think it's been a similar kind of assumption of mine. And I've found that I have a lot of traffic from Chile and Argentina reading stories for coming out of Colombia and Mexico and Venezuela. So it seems that through the lens of science, you have a lot of this kind of international interest. And I love that, because that's what kind of really grounds this regional kind of scope of LatinAmericanScience.org.
Well, it certainly strikes me, I mean, that Latin American Science and Radio Ambulante are kindred projects. You know, there is a shared regional sensibility. And in the case of this, the kind of science lens, to me it makes perfect sense, you know, because glaciers, you know, melting and climate change and alternative energy and invasive species and these issues are not contained within one border. They can't be, you know. So it does strike me as something that lends itself to a kind of transnationalism that we try to promote as part of our project, for sure.
Yeah, I think we're very similar in that regard. I thank you for that.
So I want to ask you this: do you think that the brain drain, that idea of the most promising scientists of their generation leaving their home countries for the United States or Europe, I want to ask you: has that affected, or how has that affected, kind of scientific development and innovation in Latin America, or even coverage of those same issues?
I think it's adversely affected it. It's sad that, you know, for so many of the scientists there, the long-term goal is to get a PhD and a kind of position outside of the region, you know, get a job at MIT or go work at, you know, CERN over in Europe. You know, there needs to be, and of course this is me imposing my ideas, but there needs to be more talk and more kind of opportunities shown to people as early as possible in school about the science that can be done in Latin America. But of course, you're relying on ministries that aren't paying very much for a graduate education or for positions in the sciences. You have opportunities to get funding from the US and Europe and other places, but that, I mean, very difficult to kind of harness and then, you know, build an actual laboratory around you. So there's pockets of this. I was talking to Alberto Kornblith, who's a medical researcher down in Argentina. And, you know, he says, sure, you know, you want to go abroad and go finish, you know, a PhD, sure, but come back here, because we can really, you know, add to the science that Argentina was once known for. You know, they push Nobel laureates out of Argentina. So there's this, and of course the public school systems are great down there. I mean, anyone coming out of the University of Buenos Aires is going to have a great education. So the research opportunities, I think there's just aren't enough of them that are of the same standards that you know MIT or UC Berkeley can provide. Now, it's not to say that world-class research isn't being done, but yes, of course, you have people dreaming, you know, if they get to the point where they are dreaming of being a scientist, you have them then kind of emigrating out to the US or Europe to actually go do that work and get those PhDs. And the question of them returning is a whole nother issue.
Right. So I want to ask you kind of a personal question, and it's one that I wrestle with too, having been, I guess, come to consider myself bicultural or binational or whatever. As a Latin American and as an American, where does your loyalty lie, I guess, in terms of as a journalist, the stories that you want to cover? Are you first a Latin American science journalist or a science journalist?
You know, it's been interesting because when I first started LatinAmericanScience.org and with all the help that I got from the collaborators, it was about highlighting research out of the region and more than that, positive research out of the region. You know, as a Latin American enthusiast, as a half Peruvian, I see so much coverage in the media throughout my entire life, which is just negative and painting this region with a brush of violence and negativity. And what I thought was, you know, since science is generally positive and this research that's coming out is kind of, you know, demonstrating how innovative and how kind of, you know, groundbreaking a lot of these scientists are in South America, why not highlight that and kind of add a different perspective to the media?
Right. So I want to end by asking you about your work with StoryBench, which is, well, I'll let you explain it. But in particular, I'm interested in how it dovetails with your work in Latin American science, because it seems to me that there's an opportunity for innovative types of storytelling, and in particular in the sciences. And I'll just give one example. There was that great piece that you had about bird watching in Colombia. And when you open it, you're treated to these sounds of birds recorded, I imagine, on site, you know. How were you looking to incorporate sort of digital storytelling and more innovative types of journalism in this project, and how's that going to play out on the site in the future?
So the great thing about what I'm helping out with at Northeastern is essentially a new kind of journalism school. It's trying to meet journalists, developers, programmers, have them all kind of work on a project together. And so it's a very kind of interdisciplinary look at publishing, which is essentially journalism, you know, on the internet is these days. Can we think of new ways to publish and new ways to engage audiences? So what I've been doing is, yes, there is this cross-pollination between what I'm essentially learning and teaching at Northeastern and what I'm trying to build at Latin American Science. And that's, you know, new ways of presenting stories, new ways of essentially engaging, you know, readers and listeners. I mean, can we kind of complement a story about birdwatching throughout the region with a beautiful notebook drawings that the writer had kind of done and said, you know, is there any way we could fit this in?
Yeah, really lovely. I got to say, as a design, really, really moving. I mean, and engaging.
And we're only going to see more of this. I mean, you know, you have all of these sites. You have, you know, California Sunday Magazine, for example. People that are really focusing on what magazines used to be, which was a big eye on layout and on design. And, you know, the more we kind of stretch, you know, journalism, and that by that I mean the more sites and outlets we have online, the more you're going to have to distinguish yourself. And I think one of the, you know, the kind of ways you can do that is, you know, not only get a great story, but also present it in a nice way and maybe in a novel way. But of course, we're all trying to figure this out. You know, we're trying new things because, you know, people aren't paying for newspapers. And one of the things that I find interesting is, is that journalists can kind of teach themselves a lot of these things. I mean, I'm learning design slowly and it's really hard. It's a different way of thinking and it's very artistic. And of course there's like this programming aspect to it too. And so we're like coding in these beautiful, notebook sketches to appear and then disappear on the page. And it's a really great way. I mean, I'm lucky to have a place like Latin American Science where I can experiment with these things. And so far it's been pretty great.
Alejo Bajak is a science journalist and instructor at Northeastern University, where he teaches media innovation. Make sure to check out his website, latinamericanscience.org. This interview was produced by Silvia Viñas. Special thanks to production intern Diana Buendia. And I want to thank the two of them again. They've just been excellent on this unscripted series, and I'm incredibly grateful to the both of you. But you know what? The rest of the Rambulante team is pretty great, too. It includes Martina Castro, Camila Segura, Luis Treyes, Claire Mullen, Constanza Gallardo, Carlos Rolando, Claudia Girabaldi, Clara González Suero, David Pastor, and Carolina Guerrero, our executive director. She's also my wife, so I'm a huge fan. Can you tell this is the last show? Rambulante Unscripted is supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. I mentioned them before, but I want to mention them again. The donors to this fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation. Thank you so much. Rambulante tells the stories of Latin America. If you liked Unscripted, make sure to check us out at our website, rambulante.org. I'm Daniel Alarcón. Thanks for listening.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.